Good morning. Anybody recognize that artist? Pardon? Twyla Paris, that's a good guess. It's not, though. Anybody else want to take a guess? Sandy Patty Evie. That's Evie, yes. Who was a Christian artist from probably 30, 40 years ago. And it's still one of my favorite songs that she sings. And she sang the passage that we're going to be focusing on this morning. Don has been bringing messages to us about prayer this summer, hasn't he? And so we're going to continue with that theme. But before we dive into the message, those who would like to be in children's church today, including any of you adults who'd like to go along, as long as you're the right size, okay? If you're too tall, we won't let you in. All right, thank you. So yes, I just thought we would continue on the topic of the Lord's Prayer today. About a year ago, during this pandemic, I was invited to preach a sermon to Rosedale Friends Church, which is just south of Salem, and it was the church that I grew up in, and also where we had our membership up until we came here to Tigard Friends. And so every now and then they still invite me to preach. And this was just over a year ago, and I brought a message to them on the Lord's Prayer, and just on the first four words of the prayer. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. That was the message that I shared with them, looking at each of those key words. So I thought I would dig that one out and bring it and share it with you today. However, as I was reworking it, I got stuck on the first word, and I couldn't get past it. The word our. So we're not going to focus on four words today. We're just going to focus on one, okay? And it's the word our. Now, let's go to the next slide, Andy. Because in order to set the context for this word our, I think we need to go back to Genesis 1, and especially this verse. In Genesis 1:26, the first part of it, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. This is when God announced his plan to create human beings, to create the first man and the first woman. And he says, let us. Who is he talking about? Let us. I mean, he's the only one who exists at that moment in time, other than the things that he's already created. There's no human beings, you know, that are existing at this moment when he says these words. So who is us? Who is he talking about? And we know from the rest of Scripture that he's talking about himself, right? He's talking about himself. This shows us that God himself is community, right? God himself is community. And this is a very hard concept for us as human beings to comprehend, isn't it? When we think about how there's only one God, but he exists in community. It's called the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's like they're having a conversation in this verse. Let us, right? Let us make man. Community. And it is, I think, beyond my comprehension to even try to explain the Trinity. It's very complicated, but it's just something that I choose to believe in, that God is community himself, and that he exists in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Since God is community, when he created us, he also created us for community, right? He created us to be in communion with Him, but He also created us to be in communion with one another. And that is why I think this word "our" in the Lord's Prayer is so important, because it reminds us that we were created by a God who is community, and we were created for community with one another. So let's go to the next slide, Andy. Notice how much "us" and "our" show up in the Lord's Prayer, okay? As we find it in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 9. We've already heard it sung by Evie, but I just want to go through it slowly and emphasize where we see and hear the words "us" and "our." "Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us," right? "Give us this day our daily bread," not my daily bread or your daily bread, but our daily bread. "And forgive us our debts," right? Again, not just my debts, not just your debts, but our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us, who trespass against us. "Lead us not into temptation," right? "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever." So you hear, don't you? You hear "our" and "us" all throughout that prayer. This is a prayer for us as a community. So that's why I got stuck on the word "our" when preparing what to share with you here this morning. Just the community aspect of the Lord's Prayer has really been standing out to me lately. And it leads to this question. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, who is included in the "our"? Who is included? Next slide. In other words, and I'm just going to apply this to myself for the moment, but you be thinking about how this applies to you as well, okay? In other words, who is the community of people God has given me who are on this journey with me? I think it's worth taking some time to reflect on that, not just me, but you as well. Who is the community of people that God has given you to be a part of your journey? Who are some specific people who are part of the "our" for you? Okay? And to get you thinking and reflecting on that, I'm going to kind of go out on a limb this morning and share with you some specific people and groups of people who the Lord has placed in my life over the years, who I would say are part of the "our," okay, in my life. And again, this is not to show off and just talk about me this morning. My real intention is to help you also be reflecting about who has the Lord put in your life who is part of the "our" in this prayer. So I brought some pictures, okay? I think we all like pictures. And I'm going to start with the first circle in my community of people who God has placed in my life. And we'll start with the lady in the front row. Anybody recognize her? Yes, the one who welcomed you to worship today. Her name is Tammy, in case you forgot. And we've been married now for 37 years and knew each other a couple of years before that. But when I think about community, that the "our" of the Lord's Prayer, Tammy would be one of the first, you know, who comes to my mind as someone that God has blessed me with and that we've been married and have been walking this journey together for a long time now. Although it doesn't seem like 37 years. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has been. But then because of our marriage, we have some other people in this circle, don't we? And many of you will recognize our kids, Forrest and Rebecca and William. And then our two sons are married to Megan and to Emily, and they are also part of this circle. So when I think about our in the Lord's Prayer, this is the first group of people that automatically come to my mind. And that might be the case for you as well. The people who are closest to you that you live life with together. But let's go on. You know, it didn't start with Tammy. These are actually my parents and my sister. We were a family of four, still are a family of four. And my parents are still living. And they just celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary on September 1st of this year. And so, again, when I think of our, they have played, of course, a very key part in my life. But let's keep going. After I think about family, I think about this group of people here, because you are my home church. Used to be Rosedale Friends, but now it's been you for almost 20 years. Can you believe it? Yeah, it was 2002. I think it was October, November of 2002. When my family and I came here to Tiger Community Friends Church. That seems like a long time ago in many ways. And we had just returned from missionary service in Peru, South America. We landed in Newburgh, Oregon, where we took up residence, and we were looking for a home church. And it was this church that reached out to us and brought me on as a pastor of visitation to replace Paul Thornburg, who had had that role up until I came. And so I became a part of the pastoral staff here and had that position part-time for the first 5 years. And then after those 5 years, I became the senior pastor here along with Don and Barb in the office. And I still have great memories of those years that we worked in ministry together here at Tiger Community Friends Church. And I would say that this community of believers here at Tiger Community Friends Church, even though we've changed quite a bit over the last 20 years, still plays a very important part in my journey. This is the place I always want to come to. Whenever I'm not traveling, I want to be with you because you are part of my family. You are part of this journey that I'm still on. And I want to be still a part of your journey in any way that I can be. And I thank the Lord that there have been ways to do that over these last 10 years that I've, you know, had a different position in ministry. So I'm so grateful for this community. And there are many who are no longer here. And I want to go to the next picture just to give you an example of how people in this congregation have impacted my life. And I put up Linda Swenwald here as just one example. I could put up a whole bunch of examples here, okay? But I've chosen Linda for today, because I know that she's also had an impact in many of your lives. Linda, for those of you who didn't get to meet her, she was a longtime member of this congregation. There are many of you out here who know her much better than I ever did. Many of you will remember her before her rheumatoid arthritis days. As I understand it, she was very musical. She was able to play, right? But play instruments. But when the rheumatoid arthritis came, it really began to affect her life and deform her body. And she was never confined to a wheelchair. She was still able to function, but her life in many ways was so affected by the rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm sure you will remember with me, those of you who knew her, you will remember with me just the example that she set for us of how to live with pain, of how to be faithful and still do ministry as the Lord gives you opportunity, and to do it with joy, to live with joy. She was a woman of prayer, right? She was a woman of prayer. She was also, I think, our bookkeeper, wasn't she? She was a bookkeeper here in our congregation for many years. And so even when she had to stop playing instruments, she still found avenues of service in this congregation. The thing I will probably always carry with me to the end of my life, though, was the way that Linda ended her days. Linda, her rheumatoid arthritis got to the point where it really began to affect her breathing. And so finally she wound up in an IC unit in St. Vincent's, and we knew that the end was near. And so her family, when we knew the day had come for her to pass from this life into the next, her family gathered there at the IC unit, and me being one of her pastors, I got to be there too. And the plan was that as we sang and as we worshiped with her, that she would be the one who would give the signal to the doctors to turn off the equipment. And I had been with people who had died before that, and had watched them leave this world to go into the next. But this was kind of a new experience for me. And yet, as we were gathered around her bed, and as we were singing, we could see in her that peace that passes understanding, that guards the heart and the mind. She was still sharp. She was with us in mind and body during those last hours that we shared together. And we sang and we prayed and we read scripture. And then she gave the signal. She gave the signal, turn off the equipment. And then we were there with her as she breathed her last. And it was all in peace. And it was a holy moment. This is what I will carry with me for the rest of my life. Just how holy that moment was, to be in the Lord's presence, to be his people with Linda, part of her journey, this earthly journey, the way she was ending it, to have that privilege to be a part of it. So that's a moment that has marked my life, and it continues to go with me. And you could tell your own stories about Linda and what a blessing that she was to you. But this is just one example of how important our community is and how we influence, how we impact one another. Let's keep going. I would also, first I think about my immediate family, and then I think about this church, and then I think about Northwest You're the Meeting, which is the family of churches here in the Pacific Northwest. It's our denomination. And this map kind of shows you where the different churches are located here in the Northwest. But this is also an important part of my community because, this was the community of believers who recorded me to become a minister of the gospel, who supported me all along the way in my preparation for that. Next. Also the community that supported my family and I while we were missionaries in Peru, South America for 15 years. People who gave towards our support, but people who also prayed faithfully for us. And every 3 years we would come back to the United States and we would go and visit a lot of those churches. We called it deputation. And we would go and we would share what the Lord was doing in Peru where we were ministering. And so we would give those updates and just have time to meet the people who were supporting us and to thank them for their support. They were very much a part of our journey. Next. And then in 2011, this is while I was now pastoring here at Tiger Community Friends Church. Peru Year of the Meeting was celebrating its 50th anniversary. And so there was a representation, a team that went from Northwest Year of the Meeting down to Peru to help them celebrate their golden anniversary as a Year of the Meeting. And so there were people on this team who came from different parts of our Year of the Meeting to help celebrate that big moment in South America. So there's the Year of the Meeting. Next. But now that I'm in this role as director, field director of Evangelical Friends Mission for the last 10 years, I've been getting acquainted with friends all across the United States. And this picture just gives you a snapshot of some of the people that I've been getting to know over these last 10 years. There are six Year of the Meeting, six regions that work together with EFM to send out missionaries all around the world. And so I've been going to places like Ohio and Kansas and Texas and Colorado and many other states where these friends churches exist, and just developing those relationships with them. And they've become part of the hour in the Lord's Prayer for me. These people who come from different parts of the United States. And this picture was taken just this year in Colorado at a camp called Quaker Ridge. We were gathered there to do some discernment work. You know, we have this goal, EFM has a goal, of launching 5 new fields by 2025. And sending out 10 new missionary households. And so we were gathered to discern together where in the world is the Lord leading us to go explore, to see where those 5 new fields might be. And so here we're gathered from the 6 different yearly meetings, including the one here in the Northwest. So these are people who are now part of my journey as well. Next. And of course, my responsibility now as field director for EFM is especially these folks. These are the missionaries who are on the front lines for EFM. The ones that I go visit in the countries where they work. I should say where I visited because since the pandemic started, my travel has been very restricted, very, very limited. But I'm just hoping and praying for that day when the restrictions will lift and we'll be able to start going back into the countries where these missionaries are working. But these are people that I have special responsibility for. And I'm part of their journey and they're part of mine. So when I pray the Lord's Prayer, you know, I am always including them in the hour. Let's keep going. This is the last picture I'm going to show you. I want to just share with or introduce you to one of the people that I often visit when I go to the country of Nepal, where we do have missionaries. This is Pastor Amen, who is over there on the left-hand side, and then his wife and his 2 sons. And Pastor Amen is a leader of one of the yearly meetings there in Nepal. And I wanted to just show him to you as an example of those who have become a part of the hour in the Lord's Prayer for me personally. Pastor Amen grew up, of course, in Nepal. I'm just going to share just a little bit of his testimony with you. He grew up in Nepal. Nepal is mostly a Hindu nation, so he grew up in a Hindu family. And Pastor Amen, his mother died when he was just a little boy. And his father had more than one wife. He had five wives. And Pastor Amen grew up in this home where he was not experiencing the love of his father towards him. His father sometimes would mistreat him in different ways. And the five mothers or stepmoms that he had were also not kind to him. In fact, Pastor Amen remembers many times at night when he would go to bed hungry. The family would sit down and have a meal, and he would be kept off to the side. And sometimes they would save a little food for him, but often they did not. And so that was just one example of the kind of treatment that he experienced in that environment. And he was a very lonely guy. Early on, when he was still small, somehow he became connected to the local Hindu priest in his village. And this Hindu priest kind of took him under his wing and showed him how to do some of the sacrifices that Hindus do when they gather in their little temples in the different villages. And so that's probably one way that Amen was able to eat something, was through this friendship. But he also learned how to do some of these sacrifices himself and was of service to the community. And so that probably brought some real meaning, you know, into his life. And this is how Amen grew up until he went to the university in Nepal. And in the university in Nepal, he began to meet some Christians that were connected to a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. That's a parachurch organization that is still very active in many different parts of the world. And so there were some fellow students who had come to Christ through that ministry that Amen began to meet. And so they invited Amen to come to one of their Bible studies. And Amen, at first, was really reluctant to do that, but their kindness must have won him over. And so he sat with them. And in his testimony, he always likes to share that the verse, the Bible verse that really stood out to him from the beginning was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And of that verse, Amen said, what really jumped out at him is God loves. God loves. This is something that he had been hungry for all of his life, and that his dad and his stepmoms had not been able to give him. Not even the Hindu priest could Amen say, really loved me. But when he heard this message that God loves me, God loves me, that is what drew him towards Jesus Christ and taking that step of becoming a child of God through Christ. That transformed his life. It took some time. It didn't happen overnight, of course. But I always love to hear this testimony and to see it in Amen's life as a church leader. He's like the superintendent of this yearly meeting in Nepal. And to see how he treats others, how he loves others that he leads. I always come away blessed for knowing Nepal, for knowing Pastor Amen, and for walking alongside him. I think I learn more from him than he probably learns from me. But people like Amen are also now part of my journey and who make up this hour in the Lord's Prayer when I pray. So, I'm coming towards the conclusion of this message this morning. Who else can be in our hour? I just gave you my personal example of who I tend to think of when I think of our in the Lord's Prayer, that who is part of the our for me. And I just want to offer a couple more thoughts before I give time for you to also to reflect on who is the our for you and in your life. A couple more thoughts, though. I have all these pictures on my computer, okay, and I just showed you just a few of them. But I have hundreds of pictures on my computer. And I have it set so that if my computer is just sitting, after 10 minutes, it will kick into a slideshow of all my pictures. And it will all come out, you know, just at random, in random order. And so after 10 minutes, the slideshow starts, and sometimes I just like to sit and look at it. And there's a couple things that I notice when I do that. Most of the time, the pictures that I see bring back really fond memories for me, and they encourage me. But there are some pictures in there that cause me pain. For example, I had a son-in-law, and then there was a divorce in our family. What do you do with those pictures? With those wedding pictures? What do I do with him who was part of my journey, at least for a time? Well, so far I've chosen just to leave the pictures there. Just let them be part of what cycles through. Because life is that way, isn't it? Not everything is neat and tidy in our lives. And sometimes we just need to recognize that. And remember that those people are still precious in God's sight. No matter what our relationship looks like with them now, they are still precious in God's sight. The one who was my son-in-law, he is still somehow connected to me. And I'm not just going to set that aside and forget about it. But it's still painful to me when I see some of those pictures come up. That's just one example. Now, thankfully, I don't have a lot of those pictures in my slideshow, but there are a few that kind of make me wince, you know, every time that I see them. Another thought about who to include in the hour. In my time with EFM, I've had the privilege of working with Matt Macy. When I was executive director, he was the associate director, and we worked closely during these last 9 years. He's still with EFM. His role has changed just like mine, and he's now the director of mobilization. So we don't work quite as closely as we were. But Matt, he lives in Wichita with his family. He has 4 sons and a great wife. Her name is Carrie. And I always stay with them whenever I go to Wichita. I always stay in his house. And if Matt was giving this presentation today, he would include his neighborhood. He would include his neighborhood right there in Wichita as part of the hour in the Lord's Prayer. Because a long time ago, the Lord really laid on Matt's heart to get to know his neighbors, to get to know their names, to have his neighbors over to his house, to have parties at his house for his neighbors. And I've watched him do this, Matt and his family, I've watched them do this over these last 10 years. And sometimes when I'm in Wichita staying at their house, I'm in one of those parties. I get to be a part of it. And there are all kinds of people who come. Most of his neighbors are not church-going people. Some of them would probably describe themselves as agnostic or atheist. But Matt and his family have chosen to love them anyway and to invite them in. And it's been a blessing to me to be a part of those events And it's, of course, made me think about my own neighborhood. Is there something that the Lord wants me to do in terms of my own neighbors? Is there some example that Matt is setting that I should pay attention to and that I should try to incorporate into my own life? I'm still working on that one. I travel so much that sometimes when I'm home, I just want to be home. I don't want to think about anybody else. Seems like too much work. And yet, I want to be obedient. Are there others who need to become part of the hour in my life? And that's one possibility that I've been thinking and praying about. So, I'm not saying that the way that I presented the hour for me is complete. I think that there are probably others who will become a part of this journey along the way. Well, that's enough about me. Here's the last slide. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, who is in your hour? We're just going to take the next several minutes, sit together in silence. This is part of our open worship for today. This would be the question that I would invite you to contemplate. And if the Lord leads you, prompts you to share something with us, this mic here is open, and you can come and share with us. But we're going to take at least the next 10 minutes or so just to be here in the Lord's presence in silence. And this is our question for reflection.